to believe that America's the best country and that we have the most freedoms and liberties and the most rights. It feels good to believe that and to convince yourself of that, but mm-hmm. whether it's true or not, you still have to be conscious of what other people are going through elsewhere in the world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 12th episode of Stuff We Don't Learn in School. My name is Jenny, and I am joined here today with a friend, Julia Papa. Would you like to introduce yourself, Julia?
My name's Julia Papa. I am a senior at high school. I love to talk about propaganda, I guess. I guess that's why I'm here.
Okay. Well, yes, like she said, today's episode is going to be centered around the topic propaganda. I specifically chose Julia because she tends to have a very unique outlook on life. That sounds derogatory if you like take it in that context, but it's true.
I thought you were gonna say strong perspectives on things. You're not wrong.
I mean, I would, that's also not wrong. Especially when it comes to
the government
issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that brings us to a first point. Is propaganda just limited to government propaganda?
I mean, I don't think so. I think propaganda is just really being lied to by like a major organization mm-hmm. in such a way that like so many people believe it.
Yeah.
That like you can't really escape it unless there's like a mass realization that, oh, we're being lied to.
Yes, exactly. Propaganda can be distributed from both government and organizations. So
yeah,
we could talk about
I think to define it as like lied by the government, some sort of promotion to make the government look better is kind of like a cop-out. I think it's just mm-hmm. the ruling class or ruling party or the ruling whatever,
like
in whatever situation
or, yes,
is like trying to control information so that they seem like they're in the right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
yeah, exactly. And like this is a non-governmental example. Cigarettes. Smoking. That was
yeah.
a piece of propaganda that they were like, smoking is good for you. Look at that. This person is smoking and they're so healthy. And then obviously studies and studies later, we know that that simply is not the case. But that was a piece of organizational propaganda.
Yeah, Big Tobacco just wanted to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we also see that just in general with like the war on drugs, people are saying these drugs are dangerous and unhealthy. And
that's not to say that we condone the use of hard drugs.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Period. But there are this has been a highly debated topic, marijuana, right?
Yeah, and it's not so much that these aren't unhealthy or dangerous, but to say that the people using them and selling them
are.
That has nothing to do with them wanting to be mm-hmm. involved with that. And, you know, maybe some people do, but there are a lot of people that are forced into that situation because they don't really have, like, another way to provide for themselves or their families. Like,
yeah, and so propaganda
is... So to, like, call it a war,
yes.
That's, like, a type of propaganda, you know?
Exactly. Propaganda is not just the feeding of blatant misinformation to the general public, but also the feeding of and perpetuating of stereotypes of certain groups of people, which obviously has affected, you know, not only American politics, but global politics in general, which is a whole different issue. But I think a type of propaganda that we see more prevalent than ever, especially now, is digital propaganda, algorithms and things like that. Mm-hmm. Shocker to everybody, I'm liberal. I lean more towards the liberal side of things. But if I click like on a video that has like slight liberal tendencies and there are no hashtags, somehow the algorithm just knows.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what we see a lot with like the people who supported and still support Trump is that they were, I feel like it starts with like a clicking on one piece of information. Obviously not everybody's like this, but like starting with one thing and then it just starts showing you more and more. And there are some people that don't want to take the time to be like, oh, is this true?
Yes.
Like I haven't heard this anywhere else before, because they're being fed more news sites, more media profiles, more news art, like just a lot of stuff that justifies their belief, even though it might not be true.
To the point where they start to see and hear so many different opinions around them by quote-unquote credible news sites or media outlets that they start to disregard the professional.
I think a part of it is, you know, like, especially in elementary school, like, we're taught check three sources. And in middle school, like, we're taught, like, oh, check a couple. But then if those couple that you're checking are all part of the same organization, part of
if
the
they're
same
all under the same
party, you know?
Algorithm, YouTube got a lot of backlash. This is definitely a global thing. So YouTube's algorithm, and just social media algorithm in general, its primary purpose is to keep the users on their platform for as long as possible, right? And so what's going to keep people on? They want to see content, one, that is new to them, two, shocks them or surprises them, and three, fits under their umbrella, what they're comfortable seeing and what validates whatever thoughts that they have going on in their head, right? All of that the algorithm sees, and then it condenses, and eventually they're on some conspiracy theory about flat earthers and then anti-vaxxers, and then they're watching video after video after video after video. Yes, exactly. And we were talking about this on the last podcast with statistics and studies and different things like that, but it's concerning because, you know, like Jim Carrey, I'm pretty sure, was an anti-vaxxer for a while. And he has many videos out there saying, like, vaccines cause autism, because I'm pretty sure his child is autistic. And he just blamed the vaccines on it.
People that go out and, like, preach that, especially with such a large platform, like, you have to understand what you're doing is dangerous to the people that look up to you, because there's such a disconnect between Jim Carrey and his fans. They don't know, like, the other stuff going on in his life. They just see he says, vaccines are bad, my kid has autism, and my kid got vaccinated. They don't know the other factors. They don't know those things. So when you have such a large platform like that and you're spewing misinformation, whether you know it or not, you have to be very conscious of what you say, especially yes. when you're that
exactly
big of a personality.
So it's like not only government can instigate propaganda, not only big like organizations instigate propaganda, but it can be like propaganda that is created through your own personal experiences, especially if you do have a background like Jim Carrey.
I don't know if I would say that, you know, they create it more so. I feel like it's pre-existing propaganda that's been instigated by like an institution or the government or whatever, that's like being perpetuated, because I don't think Jim Carrey would have gone out and said vaccines cause autism had he not heard that before.
Yeah, you are very right.
I think that like having that big of a platform and then perpetuating those things that are very obviously not true with just like 2 or 3 seconds of research, like you just gotta take a second. I know life moves fast, but like just Google's there. It's there and you look it up. But I guess that's another problem, is Google will show you certain things based off of your last search. Like if you went to search, I don't know, if you were searching like criminal cases on the news or something, and then you had to go search up a lawyer, the first one that's going to pop up is probably a criminal lawyer. Whether or not you're looking for like a divorce attorney or something, like it will show you those things, which leads in back into the, well, if you're looking at these things online, you're going to keep seeing more of them unless you actively try and break that cycle.
Exactly. Digital propaganda, I think more than ever now, and this is going to continue to be an issue going forward, is definitely a danger and something that everybody should be aware of. So if you're listening to this right now, yeah, I'm not saying like go around to your friends on a night out and be like, yo, by the way, keep in mind for the algorithms, they're tricky out there. But like,
yeah, just a little reminder to check yourself sometimes. If you're reading something and, you know, you're not entirely sure, you know, you just got to be able to admit like, oh, you know, that thing I read was wrong. You know, maybe I told some people about this thing and it's wrong. Just correct yourself. Just be like, hey, you know, that wasn't it.
I don't think that's it. Maybe we should look into this topic a little bit more. And if they don't want to, then they need to change their mindset. Since we're talking about propaganda in the now and what to look out now, propaganda has been kind of a thing for a very long time. This is no new.
Yeah.
If, like we said, people of power will voice their opinions and people will just follow them with the anti-vax thing. But propaganda has been a thing ever since power within the human species has been a thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which has been a while, you know what I mean? So
yeah. I mean, I don't want anyone to quote me on this because I'm not entirely sure how true it is, but I feel like you'll see a lot more propaganda with, like, the rise of, like, empires and colonialism, whether that's white colonialism or not. But when people are going out and trying to force their beliefs on other people, by whether it was the Roman Empire expanding their territory or even, you know, the U.S. now going and trying to change governments and going to start wars over certain things. The U.S. doesn't want people to know that they started a war in the Middle East just because they wanted some oil. That's not what they want people to think. They want people to think
it's patriotic. Oh, it was for a great reason.
Yeah, and I think one of the bigger problems with the U.S. is this, like, deeply ingrained sense of nationalism with no real basis behind it. You know, we're the greatest. We have so many freedoms. And it's true, but at what cost do we believe that? Like, what are you willing to exclude in your mind? Like, what blinders are you putting on to believe that? Like, white people have a lot of freedoms that Black people don't have, you know? Rich people have a lot of freedoms that poor people don't have. To say that we're free and to just blindly accept and believe the government telling you, oh, we're the greatest, you know, we're the best. And then you start to believe all of these other things that they say, like, oh, we had to start a war in the Middle East because they were going to attack us, which maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but
who knows?
You know, like, the actions that we have now are not, like, they don't support what the government has said they're trying to do. And we just ignore that because what else are we supposed to believe?
Exactly.
You know?
And I'm like, perhaps it was true way back when that morally, I don't even know at this point. Honestly, history for me right now is so completely fuzzy.
You know, for a really long time, even I thought, like, the U.S. was very anti-Hitler, anti-Nazi. And then as I've been, like, learning and unlearning about what's really happened, especially in the light of, like, the past year, I've kind of wanted to take a moment to step back and see, okay, is this really what happened? Because it's been so confusing, and, like, I want that clarification for myself. And, like, what I've come to find out is that there are a lot of people in the U.S. at that time during World War II that thought, you know, the Nazis were the best people to be doing what they were doing and have concentration camps. And the U.S. didn't want Germany to take over the U.S. They didn't want Germany to expand the way that they were trying to, but they weren't necessarily against what was going on within the borders.
Yeah.
Like, and then we hear all of the stuff about, you know, the U.S. and the Soviet Union. But going back, if you look at the facts, the Soviet Union was the one that came in and liberated those camps and, like, actually put an end to what happened. The U.S. came in and just killed a bunch of people that they didn't need to kill.
Well, I wouldn't go as far to say that drastically. The U.S. was
obviously they did good things.
Yes.
For the
I'm U.S.
sure it would have turned out much differently.
The soldiers and the veterans that fought in the First and Second World Wars, you know, like, we thank them greatly.
I don't mean to say. I just want to clarify for everyone. I don't mean to say, like, if you or someone you know, like, served in World War II, you were a Nazi supporting whatever, whatever. Obviously, you know, a lot of people did really good things and they were trying to fight for freedom. But I'm saying in the grand scheme of things, the government has not been so honest with us about where all of their intentions lied.
Yes. Well, you know, where all of their intentions lied, and possibly the amount of support that, say, the USSR gave to the Allied forces in comparison to the U.S. because we did go into the Cold War after, and we have to feed the narrative that the U.S. is always right and that they're always going to be the better nation.
Yeah.
Which is just blinding. I think it's
a really dangerous mindset, you know, to believe. Obviously, everyone wants to believe that they're in the best country on the planet and that they're in the best spot for them. Like, to believe that America's the best country and that we have the most freedoms and liberties and the most rights. It feels good to believe that and to convince yourself of that, but mm-hmm. whether it's true or not, you still have to be conscious of what other people are going through elsewhere in the world. And I think it speaks a lot to like how much we think of ourselves, that there are other countries during the height of the Black Lives Matter protests that were also protesting like elsewhere, even though we didn't really know. I didn't know a whole lot about it. And then, you know, there were a lot of other things that deserved our support too mm-hmm. in return.
Yes.
That we just turned a blind eye to, whether because the media didn't want to show it to us, because we didn't want to care about it. And, you know, I saw it on TikTok. There was a video of some woman and she was complaining that someone had asked her why she wasn't going out and protesting for some cause in another country. I can't remember what it was. Mm. And she was like, I'm exhausted and I don't have the emotional or mental energy to care about or put time into anything else. Which is valid in a lot of senses. But the person responding brought up a really good point. It was like, you know, we have our own problems in other countries and we're still showing up for you and your causes, even though they don't really pertain to us.
Yeah.
And I think that sense of, oh, like the U.S. is doing all of these good things and telling ourselves that we're the ones, we are solely responsible mm-hmm. for ending World War II, which is what you hear a lot of times in history classes, is they'll be like, oh, the U.S. played a really big part and these other countries did some stuff. Like, yes. That's how it's felt to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that the war was wrong or that it didn't need to be fought or that the people who fought in it were doing something incorrect. And it's also not to excuse the actions of the Soviet Union. By no means am I trying mm-hmm. to do that. But I think it's important to recognize that we aren't necessarily the ones that were supportive of the Jewish people while they were going through that time, or while they're going through it now. There's still a lot that happens and we don't do a whole lot for yeah. them, you know. Exactly. That's all I wanted to say. But I wanted to clarify. I know I went a little off on a tangent, but
no,
I just don't want
people
to think that, like, obviously I'm not trying to minimize anything that anybody's been through
mm-hmm.
or what that was like. Obviously, I don't know. So, like, yes. Take my opinion with a grain of salt, because I was born in 2002. What do I know? Like,
well, I mean, I think on the contrary to that, like, I think since we were born, 2000, 2003, early 2000s, we are used to this overload of information. We're used to the internet being available and having every single piece of information at our fingertips. And I think a lot of people, that was a learned skill. They had to become accustomed to such a thing. And I don't think even our generation, I don't think we know truly how to deal with overload of information, like social media and news outlets and Google. We don't really know how to deal with it, but I think we kind of have found a way to navigate it in our own little ways. Like this overwhelming of information, we've sort of mitigated it in our own ways. But I think this globalization of the internet, right, has overwhelmed a lot of people around the world to the point where they no longer truly care about a matter because they don't know how to deal with it anymore. And then it's like one matter after the other after
off,
the yes
know?
Exactly. They just want a mute button from the rest of the world, which is
yeah.
Again, like you said, completely, completely valid.
At the same time, you can't keep doing that. You can't continue to mute out everything.
Yes.
You know, and I think we're all guilty of it, especially when I talk about propaganda of World War II. I don't know as much as I'm sure a lot of other people do. And, you know, maybe I do, like, try to pay more attention to the things I want to hear. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the U.S. I don't plan on living here for the rest of my life. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm more prone to believe or listen to things that are telling me the U.S. did or didn't do this especially when it's something that I can feel detached from, like World War II, because that's not something that's affected me. But then at a certain point, it's like, okay, I have to take a minute and really, really dig into the facts so that I can understand. And then when we look at things happening elsewhere in the world, like in China, there are Muslims in concentration camps, and I'm not affected by that. So I don't know as much about it as I wish that I did. And I don't know if that's a form of propaganda or not, but it is a privilege to not be concerned with things happening elsewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely a privilege to ignore what are essentially facts.
Mm-hmm.
I really think information and our access to information is going to play a very, very large role in what propaganda looks like from here on out and what propaganda has developed from, because before the internet and before people had access to everything and people needed to just go through education and with books and everything. For me, that's like so crazy, right? Like that you just don't have access to Google 24/7.
Yeah.
It's weird to me.
Like it was encyclopedias, not your phone in your pocket. Like you really had to go pull out whatever information from that year.
Yes.
Like that's not constantly being updated.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I feel like propaganda was just easier for governments and institutions to create, because there weren't as many people being like, is this true? Are we sure about this?
In a sense, I'd argue that at least from my perspective, it stayed about the same. I wouldn't say that it's gotten easier or harder for them, but I think because of like the readily available information, but also because of this, I don't want to say a culture of laziness, but like almost just disregard or wanting to have like a quick fix, like, oh, I found this out and now I'm done. Like, why can't I just believe the first thing that I see? It's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays into a lot of like what we see now.
Yeah. I think we're seeing an increase in radicalism in honestly both parties. One party a little bit more than the other, but both parties, there are instances.
Definitely.
Because of people's want to like see one piece of information from one media source. I think the most notable one would be Fox News.
Like those big right-wing conservative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like Fox News, you know, you even see it like PragerU and all of the QAnon conspiracies kind of tie into that. Like those are big platforms that people are looking to. And they see those big numbers and feel validated by them, whether they're right or not.
You're right. Propaganda probably hasn't become harder necessarily.
It's just become more complicated, I think.
Yes. It's a much more complicated issue.
I think what we've seen is the push of the Republican Party to be more to the right and more conservative. The left has been forced to become more conservative or more moderate to appease the population, and like we see that really big problem with the two-party system as that's happening, because if the Democrats stay where maybe they want to be, maybe they don't want to be, but to say like, oh, we want healthcare for all and make it illegal to have pay discrepancies between men and women, to say those things has become politicized.
Like those statements that you just said, some people would call that being radically left.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very interesting. I think right now what confuses me the most about propaganda and politics in general, it's just these past 4 years. And I think if like 4 years in the future, whenever I look back to now, I'll be like, oh, it's so obvious. This is where these people stand, and this is where these people stand, and these people should have blah, 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 da, 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 da. But like right now, I'm just as I would say a fairly educated teenager and not really an expert in politics in any way. I'm just a normal teenager consuming media as she does. And hopefully to the extent that I should be, I don't know what's going on anymore.
I mean, and you said it's been a lot in the past 4 years, which I think we've seen a lot more of it, or we've been more aware of the propaganda, especially on, you know, a certain side of it. We're both more left-leaning individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's easier for us to see the propaganda that goes on within the right.
But I think it's hard to see propaganda within the left. And that was a point that I wanted to bring up. Like not only Trump supporters turning a blind eye to so many sources, but left-leaning supporters glorifying, we talked about this in the glorification of social leaders episode, but the Obama administration was in no way perfect. None of us are.
Yeah.
But
you know,
turning
up made
a
lot of
eye.
Mistakes. And, you know, just because certain things happen under one administration that don't happen now doesn't mean that previous administration is exempt of all of the things they did. Like Obama sent bombs out that did not need to be sent out. And
I actually have that stat
memorized.
In 2016 alone, he sent out over, according to The Guardian, 26,171 bombs, you know, to the world. So not specifically the Middle East, but the majority to the Middle East, which is about 3 hours. No, not 3 hours. Which is about 3 bombs every hour for 24 hours a day, every single day, which is a lot of bombs.
Yeah. And at what point, you know, to a certain extent, I can understand where the U.S. might have been coming from, especially after 9/11, you know, and especially in those early days, like early years after that. You know, the fear was still running high and it was still a big concern. So sending out those things might not have necessarily been to intimidate them, but rather to make Americans feel safer in a time of great uncertainty. Again, I can't entirely speak to that because 2002, but things like that, it's like, do we need to continue doing that? Like what started it and why are we continuing to do it? I don't know.
I think it's just like questioning everything that you know. And everything that you think, because I think especially in the Trump administration, the left hung on to the idea of the Obama administration and started to idealize the good old days in 20.
It's easy to do that because when you see someone that is so, I don't know what the audience of this podcast looks like, but you know, I'm not trying to be rude or dismissive to Trump supporters, but in my personal opinion, I don't think that he was
very radically
capable of leading.
Right.
Yeah. So when we see a leader that is not well-versed in politics at all, so when we see that, we're like, oh, we miss Obama because we associate that time period with political aptness, I guess. But that doesn't mean that being politically apt means you're correct.
Yes.
And I think that's what we get it confused with.
Exactly. And so I think that brings us to, I think we've definitely talked about this before, but just like the solution to propaganda. Like I said before, propaganda has been in existence ever since power within people has been in existence and will continue to be in existence as long as there is power within a group of people. Mm-hmm. So the solution is not these powerful groups not spreading propaganda anymore. The solution, I think, is just the responsibility of the people. Constantly questioning everything. And although it is so extremely exhausting to keep doing that, if we're going to fight against this reframing of ideas that, you know, institutions perpetuate, then it's going to be through a constant struggle of questioning ourselves and every single piece of information that we define as the truth.
Yeah. And I think we have to start with questioning our beliefs and what we take in, what media we take in. But, you know, we can't really do it without other people. You know, it'd be really hard to sit there and say, okay, well, I've deconstructed and unlearned and relearned all of these beliefs that I had, and then have nobody either helping you with resources, nobody to share those resources with. So I think that like finding like-minded people that are willing to have those conversations and to discuss that and to look further into things, maybe they'll find something you didn't find. Maybe they'll change your mind.
Exactly.
You know, I won't name names. I doubt that he listens to the podcast, but I have a friend that he's in college now, and he talks a lot about, you know, socialism and you know, leftist ideologies on his page. And do I agree with all of them? No. Do I think that some of the things that he can post and say can be a little bit extreme sometimes? Yeah. But, you know, I like having conversations with him because it helps me consider a different point of view and, like, readjust my beliefs based on things that I might not have heard before, yeah. You know?
I think a mixture of understanding different perspectives and understanding science and research, just that mixture, yeah. Like that sweet balancing point between the two.
Yeah.
Is very,
and like,
crucial.
Understanding like who you're listening to. You can listen to a news source or read a news article, but maybe just check if it's news or opinions, because that can change a lot. And you know, when you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you've made it this far, but like, just remember that, you know, we're just two high schoolers having a conversation about, you know, something that we feel is important to talk about. That doesn't necessarily mean that anything we've said is right.
Exactly.
It just means this is our perspective and we wanted to share where we are coming from, regardless of whether or not that's where you're coming from or what you believe, like, or if it's right or not.
Exactly. And this is just like an at this point of time type of thing. Propaganda is so difficult to talk about because it is just constantly shifting all the time.
And it's a big part of our lives too. It's hard to separate, you know, propaganda from whatever else. Like, it's a really big part of what we deal with, especially as American citizens.
Exactly.
You know?
Because if we,
or people living in America, you know.
Exactly. And like, we realize that like constantly questioning every single piece of information is just unrealistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But questioning as much as you can emotionally handle.
And I think, you know, to a certain extent, you have to push yourself, you know, especially like for me personally with the Black Lives Matter movement this summer, it was a lot. And it took a really big toll on my mental health to constantly see that and be fed that information. And then I just had to like take a minute and realize, okay, well, the people that deal with this on a daily basis, This is probably where their mental health is all the time, constantly, plus all of the other stuff that they go through outside of those issues.
Yes.
So you have to like check your privilege and just say for a second, okay, like this is going to suck and it's going to be really hard to learn about and to get into these things. But there are people that don't have the privilege to not do those things. And to like do them justice and to help better and try and remedy these situations, you have to be able to admit I was wrong.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I'm not doing enough.
Precisely. So. And on that note, I think that'll be the end of the podcast. So make sure to check us out on our Instagram, which is at Stuff We Don't Learn in School, and sign up for our newsletter, which you can sign up on our website, which is stuffwedontlearninschool.org. You just plug in your email and you automatically get bi-weekly newsletters. It's just that easy. And so the ending quote for this podcast is from an unknown source. This is one of Julia's favorite quotes because it's just funny. And why not end a propaganda podcast on a lighthearted note?
It means absolutely nothing. The words were just mashed together. And here it is. I would like the kids to write about their visual perceptual stimulation of the natural impressionistic beauty of the surroundings.
As always, Stuff We Don't Learn in School would not be possible without our team. Thank you to Samantha Podner for writing the newsletter, Sophie Liu for the resources, Emma Scott for the digital content, and Gloria Wong for the graphic design.